most times it cannot be done in-house just because it's one student.
Yeah, it's only one student.
Yep, I can have the superintendent can address that.
That's how these routes are done, and it is that kind of, it is that per diem rate, and often it's not cheaper than hiring another bus driver just to do that?
Well, we have subs, actually, that I'm sure. I mean, we're trying to save money. I thought maybe you'd like to look at that and save some money. 36, you know, it's quite a bit of charge.
How many days are we looking at?
That's a 31-day contract.
31?
31 days.
Are we, is that calendar days or is that?
School days.
Then that's only
31 school days.
19.
Is the
contract. It started in March.
It is aidable for, so we do get some of the money back on that.
Okay.
So is transportation department. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think we need to look at that and try to save some money.
I understand your frustration, and we go through it every time we do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. We do consolidate that on a yearly basis and look at what we can do to keep students in house instead of sending them elsewhere. Is there anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Going back to the Secretary of Paradurham's student council and junior class, I'm an active member in the drag club. I know that considering taking cuts in all areas, including clubs and sports, personally, I wouldn't want this to happen, not only because I participate in clubs, but future students of Paradurham High School won't have the chance to. And clubs and sports, I feel, are a way for students to keep out of trouble, but keep their grades up, because like if they want to be in sports and stuff, they have to make sure their grades are up. And clubs at our school have helped the community in many ways, including Interact Club, Honor Society, and Student Council have all participated in the Senior Citizen Dinner, which had 100 seniors at it. And many clubs have raised money for the Tolan family in their time of need. Student Council also helps the student body by making them more of a community by having pep rallies and spirit rallies throughout the year. And Student Council, during Christmas time, gets a bunch of gifts for a family in need. And without any of these clubs, none of this would be possible. And none of these things would be possible that were just stated. Thank you. I won the gummy bears.
You won the gummy bears? Yeah.
Won the gummy bears, all right.
Well put, thank you very much. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Where are we on the superintendent search?
We're in the middle of an interim search right now.
Why interim search?
Excuse me?
Why an interim search?
Because that's the way the board decided to do. It was an interim for 1 year. Anybody else? Preface this meeting, and I appreciate the turnout. No decisions have been made on the budget. Okay, this is one of many meetings that we will be having to go over budget issues and where the cuts will be made. We're still waiting for the numbers to come back on a daily basis as far as how much we have to make up, because we're still not sure what we're going to be getting from the state. We're still not sure, I might be wrong here, Lisa, if the tax levy formula is still the one we're using. Has that changed?
The state just issued guidance on Tuesday, 20-page document.
Regarding the tax levy.
The tax cap.
Tax.
It's 3 weeks
threshold.
Late.
gonna be made here this evening. We're gonna talk this evening, we're gonna talk next week. I'm gonna call for an extra meeting next week. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So whatever you're hearing out there, if you're hearing anything at all, we're talking about everything. So don't jump the gun and say, hey, they're cutting this, they're cutting that. We're just talking. Okay? So can I have a motion to approve the minutes of February 9th public hearing and March 8th workshop?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved. I do not believe the board committee, any of the board committees have met. Personnel items. Looks like A through. G, A through G, personnel items. Can we move them as a unit?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question on F.
Yep.
What happened that happened?
I don't know, it was many years ago. She had it wrong.
Okay.
Just because they figured that if you were remedial reading.
I'm sorry, Sally, I can't hear you.
Item F.
It was tenured incorrectly. It's just a correction to the tenure. It apparently was the belief that if you taught anything remedial or any kind of pickup class that it was special ed, it's not. You can't be tenured in something. It's not a tenure area, so it's a correction to what she actually has been teaching. And we went through year by year and listed out what she was teaching, and the attorneys have said this is what the tenure should be.
I have a question on.
Any other questions or comments? No? So can I have a motion to move them as a unit?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Did you get that, Paul?
Was that Tom and Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved. Yes, Dr. Baumgartner, can you hear me?
What?
Oh, you can. Congratulations, you've been awarded tenure, Mr. Baumgartner. We're all going to Dr. Baumgartner's house afterwards. Everybody.
Better go lay me off.
Holy fuck. Okay, so. Don't make me use the mallet. Business items A through F.
I have a question on D.
D, yes.
A through E, because F is a discussion.
Oh, you're right.
What?
So A through E, F is a discussion.
Question on D.
D.
D,
I have
D
a
yes,
question
ma'am.
On E.
D. A through D.
March
no,
12th through April 11th is 19 days.
Yep.
With that figure at 217 is 4,123.
Okay.
It says 6,000.
The contract says 6,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the back page is the other one. I did front and back.
Make a motion to move A through E.
Because the 11th were on vacation.
Because
it's just anticipated.
It's just anticipated. It's not actually.
It's not the contract amount. We
okay.
only pay every day the student.
What happens if he doesn't go to school?
Okay.
We don't pay if he doesn't come. Okay.
It's a per diem contract, so it's whatever day they work, but it could be up to that amount, 6,000. If it goes, but I don't see how it could go over.
No.
Yeah. Lisa can answer.
Later.
I believe that child is a homeless child, and right now
he's
homeless. The child is residing.
Did you get that?
Okay.
He's homeless?
Yep.
But he lives in Spencer.
I don't have the particular.
Oh, well, that's what it says on this. Okay.
It says he's from Spencer.
The rules on that are that they get to go to their district.
If we want to discuss this further, we can go to the executive and discuss it.
No,
okay.
what I wanna know, what they've tried so far.
I would be happy to. In November 2007, the district implemented the NutriKids software. And prior to that, the district was utilizing a handwritten roster. The NutriKids software obviously is very accurate as far as the balances, meals, etc. When the software was implemented, there's an option for the district to create letters through this NutriKids, and the letters are generated on a monthly basis and sent to parents for those children who do have negative balances, okay? This started in November of 2007. In September 2008, there was an online payment system that was established through NutriKids. This enables parents to go online to make a payment, and every Tuesday, the district receives a file from NutriKids with a payment amount. In June 2009, the negative balance deficit was significant. In addition to parents being notified every month of the child's negative balances, there have been phone calls home made by administration, and there also have been calls placed to social services if the administration felt that was appropriate. In June of 2011, in July 2009, the state issued a memo stating that the child nutrition program, the school lunch program, cannot sustain negative balances. It is a non-profit entity, and those balances need to be made whole. So in June of 2011, the general fund absorbed approximately $19,000 worth of negative balances. The district continues to send monthly letters home. Administration makes phone calls. In addition, every Friday, a robocall is sent home to those parents of children who have negative balances. And that's what the district has been doing so far.
Thank you.
There is, Child Nutrition has provided memos and guidances on establishing a charge policy. The district has obtained various charge policies of area districts. In the new policy manual, there is a proposed charge policy, and the board will be addressing that when that section of the policy comes forward.
So does everybody understand? I don't think we should let it go. It's money we desperately need. So what's our options?
We've tried everything we can. We've billed, you've called, you've emailed, you've told them to come bring a luncheon or bring money or come pick up their kid. We've done everything.
The district should establish a charge policy, and I'm going to call on Mr. Bigley. He is the district's consultant for school lunch, and he has been working with the district since 2007, 2008 on this issue. Again, the board should establish a charge policy. It's very based upon the guidelines from the child nutrition. I can provide you that information. And Jim, is there anything else that you'd like to add to the board?
There are, thank you. There are some districts that look at the charge meal policy in a number of different manners. And I think some districts look at the secondary level, specifically the high school, a little bit differently than the other schools. Some districts look at the middle school and high school a little bit differently, and they go so far as to say there is no charging at the higher grades, middle school, high school, or at least the high school. Other and at the primary level or the elementary level, many districts have adopted a three-meal grace period, or you're allowed to charge three meals. Thereafter, you don't receive the normal meal. You get an alternate meal that meets the federal reimbursement guidelines, but is not the not the normal pizza or the good hot entree. and I work with a district that has no, a no charge policy. So.
Is there, any district that use, collection agencies and what districts?
Great question. And I hear districts, considering that, but I know of no district that has, actually, implemented, collection agency. I think some of the thought process is that there is a mechanism in place that families can apply for the free reduced, application at any time during the course of the year. You know, God forbid, they become unemployed tomorrow, they can apply for that, the very next day. And there's no, you know, once you're approved for free or reduced for the entire year. So there is a mechanism in place for families to apply for that. And if you don't, qualify for that, there's a reason that you don't qualify. The reason is that the household income is such that it's above the, threshold to qualify. So, you know, there are regulations out there that, that certainly, let you go to qualifications.
But how do you tell an 8-year-old that he can't have one because his parents can take it away?
That's the unfortunate thing. It's not that child's part. You're absolutely right.
I do know we do give out, when they find it illegal, we do give out an application for free or reduced lunch, and some people do comply to that, actually, and solve that problem, but the people that.
Can't go back and cash it like before, charge as well.
Yeah, it's not retroactive.
No, it's not. That's what's a big problem.
So what are our options? Is a collection agency an option?
I would check with the school attorney first, but I believe your first option to have our policy brought forward based upon the guidelines from the state and discuss it. Is this the manner that you wish to go?
Yep.
Do you wish to have no charging at the higher grade levels and establish, you know, 3 lunches, 5 lunches, and then the child will be provided with an alternate lunch? That would be my recommendation, is to look at policy first.
Okay, so does everybody hear that? We're gonna see if we can find a policy. Can we have a breakdown on where the delinquency is?
Yes, we have it in the report packet.
Oh, is it in? Great, great.
School.
School.
Building.
Not great.
Building.
Building by school.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you want it?
Okay, so at the next meeting, you'll have a policy to consider.
Is there a limit how many kids can get a lunch, how many lunches they can get in a day?
Yes. The government will reimburse one lunch per student, one breakfast per student.
Yeah, but no, what I'm asking is, here at our school, do they give as many lunches they want to a student who keeps going back up to get another lunch?
I think there's a positive balance on the account. I'm chilling with some of these.
Okay.
If there's a positive balance on the account, they can buy as many second lunches. But if there's no balance, they can only receive the first.
So that's not one of the issues. Because I know a lot of the boys, yeah, the lunches, so.
Have you done this in other districts?
The last two compared to that is really not a set policy. It's a bit of a problem.
It's a bit of a problem. Yeah, well, obviously we need a policy so we can stop, slow it down or make it less the amount that we're in arrears here.
Well, it's unfortunate for that couple of these main rules, and it's very hard to enforce it. You can't really take food out from a kid because their parents don't pay their bills. That's not the way we've been operating. And trying to make the 3 lunch warning when it gets down to 2, because you're calling home and saying, bring in lunch or bring in money or come get your kid. I mean, we've tried everything. We're going to call CPS. You're not providing kids food. We're going to call CPS. These are the things that have been going on, but at this point, it's at the board level because we can't start saying we're going to take away X, Y, and Z without board approval. And one of the big issues that Jim referred to is the free and reduced lunch applications. When a kid, they don't send it in right away, they're eating for a month, and all of a sudden they get to it and send it in, and from that point on, they're free and reduced, but we eat those balances because you'll never get that. So, and, you know, the people who coordinate that program have done a great job getting applications out. They're everywhere. I think every time, I mean, people in here have got it home 10, 15 times. It's everywhere. It's in online. It's in the back of the handbooks that go home with school. So, it's crazy. So at this point, we need to step it up because you heard we ate $19,000 in lunch charges last year, and we're up to 5 right now. It's they don't have the money to do that.
people need to either send food, and if they're not capable, get a free reduced lunch application in. It's kind of.
We're still calling them when they come in and they make a
I haven't talked to the administration about that particular issue very recently,
yeah.
But I can find out.
Yeah, at least I think we should still at least call and say, hey, you still have a
at least
balance.
Can you tell me, Bobby sends home letters how often?
The letters are sent home on a monthly basis, and there is a robocall made on a weekly basis.
So they're getting called, and I mean, how much more?
Is there compliance with?
Is there compliance?
To the letter?
We've only seen our balance grow, our negative balance grow. That's why we brought to your attention.
In the last month, it's gone up $600.
Oh, yes. Okay, so then we'll look for a policy. Well, we have to enforce it. We can't let the money go.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. So then, anybody else have anything on that? So we'll look for a policy on it.
Look for the policy.
Yep.
State standards.
Okay, so then move on to Board of Ed items. So it's going to have to be, it's like A through F, everything else we have to. So can I have a motion on Board items A through F?
Could we table F?
Table F.
We have a discussion.
So do you want to go A through E then? Shoot for A through E.
I'll make a motion.
Don't block my name.
Oh, Barbara, I'll make a motion.
Okay, A through E.
Thank you.
Second, A through.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? So moved. So Carl, do you want to go into executive session for F?
I think maybe at the end of the meeting, and
okay.
I'm going to table it for the next meeting.
Okay, we can do that. So.
When are we tabling it to?
The next meeting. So then, G, we're going to need a, well, it's a third reading. So can we waive the third reading? G?
Move, we waive the third reading.
Tom moves that.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? So moved. H, second reading.
Can I just say something about these now second readings?
Yep, now we're getting into the.
There were some, I did put in there like the suggestions from the committee, so when you move these, if you're going to pass them, you need to pass them with the suggestions. Because I can't make the changes on those things, I have to send them to the BOSU's to get the changes made.
So did everybody get that?
Yes.
So you can hear her, she just can't hear us, is that it?
Okay.
Yeah, I usually don't have a problem with people hearing me.
So can we have a waive the second reading with adjustments, with changes, motion?
I will make.
This is H we're talking about, folks, right?
H.
Which is 6,000 through 6,562.
Yep.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Right.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved. Okay, so we can add to these at any time too, just like our regular policies. So.
That's correct.
I, same thing. Waive the second reading with any additions.
Move it.
Second.
Sue went first on that one. That would be Sue on the second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved. So the amended policy 6410, waive the first reading of that.
So moved.
Tom,
second.
Tim.
Tom.
Tom.
Make a motion for second.
Need a second?
Second.
Sue.
Beth.
Yeah, Sue was too slow. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved. Okay, so K. So this is about the buses, the Suburbans. Did we get a breakdown of what the transportation cost, I'm sorry, the maintenance costs were for? That was what we asked for at the last meeting, two meetings ago. $8,000 or whichever bus it was.
No, it did not.
It did not, how much was it, what's the cost of that?
$13,000.
So we asked for this breakdown because we wanna know if we wanna get rid of.
There's fuel sensors, auxiliary joints, brakes, rotors.
What is the mileage again, I know you gave it to us last time, can't remember.
What's the mileage of?
That's what I just asked for, apparently you can't hear me, but Tate can. Is Bob Gartner wearing a blue shirt, did anybody check?
He is, no, unless it's dark blue.
Yeah, he is.
There you go. And now the timing sign is not blue.
Motion to remove tenure. Should I ask that before you?
At the last meeting, mileage was $77,000 on one and around $90,000 on the second.
$90,000 on the other.
Thanks.
Seventy-seven and ninety, oh, you're right ahead.
Thank you.
How old is it?
2002 and 2003.
Is that correct?
I believe so.
Carl?
I.
2002.
So some of those items are gonna be general maintenance items anyway, tires and brakes. So what do we wanna do, do we wanna?
The resolution before you is to place it before the voter for voter approval. And it has to be acted on tonight because we have a deadline as far as advertising for the budget and this will go in the legal notice. That's why it's before you tonight.
Who uses these and are they used on a daily basis?
Can you please answer that, Mark?
Can you stand up, Mark, please?
Yeah, both vehicles are used on a daily basis, they get used every day, first thing in the morning, when suburban goes over to Hudson for a homeless student, male taking, running students, picking up students in Catskill in midday. They're going every day, just every day they get used. Sometimes it's not long distances, but they're within the district, they're going somewhere every day. Midday, or today one went to Niskiyou, teacher took students to Niskiyou, so.
Is it nine passenger, we have nine passengers, I'm not sure.
Well, they're actually seven passenger plus the driver, so they're eight passenger.
Your professional opinion, are they any useful lights, like useful light?
The bodies are not rusting out, but they're starting to show wear, doors are starting to sag, interiors are starting to get a little ratty on them, they just, but they do get used a lot. And like the maintenance costs, they are starting to add up and it's just gonna, as they get older, we will start, you know, having more maintenance issues with them, just natural, you know, as vehicles age.
Okay, thank you. Lisa, what's the cost of the new ones?
The resolution before the board is $90,000, that is more than enough, however, that $90,000 is just for full pay for issuing the bond anticipation note for the serial bond and that will also include attorney costs and bond counsel costs. Okay, so we don't anticipate spending $90,000, but it's up to that amount.
And I believe one of the vehicles is gonna be kept and one would be sold?
That was the plan.
It wouldn't be, right, it wouldn't be traded, it's gonna be sold out, right?
No, it would be sold outright. On the purchase of these vehicles, it would qualify for state aid, yes.
How much state aid?
The state aid ratio for next year is approximately 64%.
64. Everybody else?
I say put it to the public and let them vote on it.
Tom, what do you think?
I say move.
Beth?
Yeah.
Two, no more discussion?
I would like to propose that we buy one and not two.
It's an interesting thought, you guys hear that?
What is the ramifications?
7,000, one has 90, is it safe to, is it safe to guess that the 2003 is only the 77? You can get the book out. Mark knows it off the top of his head. Which one has 77,000, the 2003?
Yeah.
The newer one. So you guys.
Are they ever used to capacity? In other words, are, what I mean by that, are we carting seven people around, are we carting one kid to Hudson?
I mean, seven went to this unit today.
Sometimes, Dean, there is only one student on the bus, yes.
Then why don't we buy a car in a suburban?
The cost of this, that's a good question.
Car, we have to have, it has to be approved for DOT.
Yeah.
To, in order to carry students and guys jump in and help me here.
Well, we set a standard a while ago that it had to be a with Kusaki Transport, it had to be a van or better, and it had to be school bus chrome. So we can't have less than those standards ourselves, so the minimum size that the district transports in is suburban size, students. It's just, I mean, years ago, there was a horrible accident in Greenville.
Yep.
Death of a student, it was in a minivan unmarked, the trucker didn't even notice the car, and from that point on, we made a standard. Has to be that school bus chrome, they call it, it's that orangey thing.
Yellow color.
And when we do the contractor, it's gotta be a van or better, bigger, and, you know, we have to have the lights and it's safety. You can't really compromise that, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, and actually, these are inspected at least every 6 months, so it's not a safety issue with these vehicles at this point. Seems to be a maintenance issue, not a safety issue at all. If they were pulled off the road, they would be pulled off the road by the state in a heartbeat. So that's why we're discussing it. So what does everybody else think about one? Do you wanna do a?
How quickly are we gonna tie up the mileage on the other one and have to turn around and do the same thing all over?
It might gain us a year or two, and the money's coming back, so then, when the state.
The money's coming back.
Correct, that's it.
Just remember, your state aid ratio continues to.
Keep it up.
We're getting the maximum that we're gonna get. I would think we'd better do the two at once. If we're gonna do it all, let's do it.
Put it before the vote.
Yeah.
Yes, that's all we're doing, we're talking about putting it before the vote. Yeah. So be your.
I'm good.
So do we wanna do a roll call to put it for Don, or everybody do it? Okay, so if there's any more discussion? No?
Yep.
Okay, so then I need a motion to approve K, which is Board of Ed items K.
I will take that motion, Laura.
I said it earlier, I'll do it.
Okay.
Make a motion to.
I have a motion and a second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, so moved. Thank you, good discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, so I. L. We said L. This is that CASGA grant.
The Green County School Board Association has been working for the last year and a half, et cetera. Is it 2 years would be, or is it 1.5? About 2 years on shared services, what can we share, how can we make more efficiencies? This is a spinoff from that. We had a study done by CASDA, which outlined some areas that we could maybe do better. This is another part of that grant, probably, it's gonna cost the district $2,500. And what it's going to study is going to, what it is you apply for the grant, and if you get the grant, it's a $2,500 match. We would get, if we have two districts, I think we get $50,000 to pay for the study. So this is an application to a grant, will cost us no more than $2,500. If we get it, it's a match, and it's to study the high school options. Not necessarily the regional high school. A regional high school would be one high school everybody goes to. It's not about that, it's more about a magnet high school, which means that perhaps Cara Durham would concentrate in one area, maybe Greenville concentrates in another area, and then we share students. It's possibilities, isn't it? We're not saying we're gonna do that, but that, this study would say, is that feasible, does it make sense, based on strengths and weaknesses and locations. So this is just another The board has directed us to continue to look for shared services, and this is the next grant opportunity.
So, did everybody see that? It went out the other day. Motion? Discussion? Anybody, everybody understand?
I'm sure you want to spend $2,500?
As a match, yeah. And then that'll, that, if we win the grant, that'll give us money to do the study. We don't pay for the study.
So we're doing the study alone?
No, I think CASN will do the study. But this is an application to get a grant to pay for CASN to do the study.
That's what I'm saying, but Carroll Durham School District is doing it.
Right now, it's Carroll Durham, Greenville, and Wyndham that have agreed to enter into this.
Carroll Durham, Wyndham.
25 each.
Three out of six, $2,500 per district as a match.
For a $50,000 grant, usually?
Two schools was 50. I think it's more for three.
So what's the total, cost of this survey?
$2,500.
Per school?
Per district.
But what's the $50,000 grant for?
To pay for the study.
That's what I'm asking. So it'd be $162,000?
No, it's...
I'm sorry, I don't have the paper in front of me.
It's 2,500 each school?
Mm-hmm.
To, as a match?
To get a $50,000 grant?
Either 50 or 75, yeah, depending on the schools.
For the three schools together?
Wyndham just joined in.
One grant for all three?
Yes. That study will look at those three schools and say, what do you got?
So the study's gonna cost $50,000?
But we're only paying $2,500.
Yeah.
Right, just a grant for the study cost.
I think it's more with the third school. We'd get more. It won't cost us more.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we'd get awarded more if we won the third school.
And this is to transfer students to maybe Greenville or Wyndham?
It's only to determine whether or not we have opportunities. Like, for example, Greenville has an international baccalaureate program. We don't have that. I mean, is it feasible for us to bring some of our kids there? We have Project Lead the Way. They don't. Is it feasible for them to bring us? Those are the kind of things it would look into. Does it make sense? It might say, no, it's a dumb idea. Or it might say, here are your opportunities. At that point, you can say, no thanks, or great, let's look into it. I mean, so this doesn't bind you anything except for the $2,500 if we get the grant as a match.
And I think what you also have to consider, Tim, is that, you know, with everyone, all districts I'm talking about, doing cuts, this is a way to keep programs that we can offer for all the students that participate.
Sounds good.
Good.
Any questions in from school board to break down?
And will we approve?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved.
Abstention.
We tabled this at the last meeting, discussion of the middle school, high school assistant principal position. Take it from 10 to 12 months. We were handed some information regarding that position and the duties that that position is undertaking. So we need to make a decision to go ahead with this or not, to change it from 10 to 12.
Lisa, what's the financial concerns on that? Do you have that?
Yes. When extending the salary to  12 months, I believe an additional, if it was the existing salary just extended, would be an additional $13,000. I have not received a different recommendation from the college board.
Well, we would just be not approving the salary this evening, which is if we approve or whatever we get, was just change the position from 10 to 12.
Which will be a budget impact.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they're not gonna do it for the same cost.
No.
Unless they are. It's no brainer.
That's a good point.
So what's the consensus? What do you think?
Honestly, they tried it this year, and going into the summer, there's too much work. I'll give them credit to agreeing to throw that back into the pot last year. Not gonna work with the work that has to be done with APPR, Dignity for All Students Act, all of our safety stuff. I don't see how it's gonna possibly work. Again, with the APPR, 2 hours and 20 minutes per administrator, per day to do these evaluations. They tried it, and thanks to them for trying that, but I can't can't see how it would possibly work.
Yeah, that was spelled out in the information we received, yeah.
I'd say maybe a 12-month position.
I'd say 12. If you do APPR standards, you have to be 12.
We don't have a choice out there.
No?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're done with discussion, then a motion?
I move.
Second.
Sue and Dean, and Beth?
Motion is to
Make it a 12-month.
To make it a 12-month position, correct. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved.
Thank you for your consideration.
Yes. Under, I'm sorry.
It's effective when it's July 1st, is that what we're talking, effective July 1st?
That's when the 10-month would end, yes.
Okay, thank you.
We can go into superintendent's items and then go to budget items. Okay, so we'll go to superintendent's items and then we'll head back to board items.
An important recognition, we have another scholar athlete team bowling. Team average is 90%, and that's James DiDonato, Chris Notarnicola, Matt Hines, Tristan Cook, Tim Coletti, Michael Carr, and Martin Mangiasso. I want to publicly congratulate them. They keep their averages up to 90 while on a sport. It's called the Scholar Athlete Team. We have a bunch of them. Very proud of our athletic department for that. So if you have joined me in that. Before we get to B, Jim, the Critical Issues Conference, Nicole's not here, right? Can we table that for the next meeting? Nicole attended a school board Critical Issues Conference and got some really good stuff and she was going to share, but I believe she's ill. So if you can table it for the next meeting, that would be great. And then,
no,
you don't. No, she's going to put on the next one. And then have you reviewed the standards? Is that, you ready to do that, Jim? Thanks.
This is Mr.
You can have my mic.
He's been our consultant since 2007, 2008, and he's also consulted to approximately 21 other school districts.
Can we have you use the mic?
Yeah, can you?
You can have that.
Thank you for the time to speak with you this evening. We'd just like to bring you up to date on the latest regulatory changes within the child nutrition program, not just here in Cairo, but across the country, actually. The recently passed Hunger-Free Kids Act, more commonly called the Reauthorization Act, was passed by Congress and signed by President Obama in December of 2010. The provisions that were within that act were, in my opinion, very stringent at that particular time. And there was a 4-month comment period from anybody that was interested in making comments. And as a result of the comments, the final regulations or the final rules came down in January 2012, just a couple of months ago. And quite honestly, there were a lot of lobbying groups involved, the corn lobby from Iowa, the potato lobby from Maine, you may have heard some of that. But the final provisions were somewhat diluted from the original provisions. One of the main provisions that came out of this act is that every district in the country will be required to follow what is called the traditional menu planning option. There are currently there are 4 different menu planning options, and we here in Cairo are under the nutrient standard menu plan option. As a result of that, we need to move to the traditional menu planning option. And real quickly, the traditional menu planning option indicates that we need to offer 5 different components at lunch and 4 different components at breakfast. And the students can choose in the offer versus serve program any 3, 4, or all 5. And I know Jill and her staff advocate that they take all 5 components as they go through the line. This change from menu planning option is a material change in your current contract, and thus the need to rebid the contract this coming spring. I have submitted to the district, to Lisa, a timeline for the rebid process with a proposed vendor conference to bring some vendors in to look at the facilities, as well as the actual bid opening in late May. And that will allow us plenty of time to prepare for the new year with the same food service management company or transition to the lowest honestly, I think by bidding early, I think that's a good situation. I'm currently going to attend a workshop next week with SED on Food Service Management Company. I think Lisa's attending and Jill as well, where they're going to talk specifically about the prototype contract. And I will take that prototype contract and customize that to this particular district for specific items that are unique to here, not necessarily me, but with anything that we will customize to that will be in that particular contract. There are a number, a few provisions that are included in the act that will become effective over the course of 5 years. There are three of the provisions that will be needed to be adhered to for the school year 12-13 upcoming. And the very first provision would be that 50% of all the grains offered will need to be of the whole grain variety, not necessarily whole wheat, but whole grain. And that encompasses everything from pizza crust to hamburger rolls right on down. This is not a real major change because I think Jill is currently offering a lot of whole grain items currently, but they will need to be 50% for the next 2 years. After that 2 year period, the third year, 100% of all the grains will need to be whole grain at that point. The second provision is a provision that the students currently the offer versus serve